It's the Suncast Podcast, covering the Sun Conference and all its sports.
What's up, Suncast Nation? It's your boy Manny here, and I'm excited to bring you this next edition of Suncast as we're going to kind of jam-pack this episode with a recap of this past weekend, as well as a preview for the weekend to come. When you guys are listening to this, I'll be doing all the other sports, women's soccer, men's soccer, and volleyball, and then myself and Josh will be doing football on the back end of this episode. Pretty eventful weekend. Obviously, there were a lot of conference stuff that happened. For women's soccer, a few of the results: Kaiser beats New College, SCAD dominates Thomas, Ave beats Southeastern, Warner takes a win over Florida College, and then Florida Memorial beats Weber. For me, the one that I think was the most shocking, of course, Ave Maria Southeastern. I think that was a big upset for the Gyrenes. I think that proves how sneaky the Gyrenes can be this season. Pretty much not just shutting out the Fire, but also to score not once but twice on them. That's very, very impressive. I think the Gyrenes kind of made a little bit of a statement there, because I do think this is more of a Gyrene win than a Southeastern loss. I do believe the Gyrenes took this one from Southeastern, and that's big for Ave. They look to try and kind of solidify their spot in the playoff hunt with conference play now upon us. Kaiser over New College, I kind of had that one pegged. Again, they believed Kaiser was going to be able to do what they did, and they did it in pretty emphatic fashion, winning 5-2 over the Mighty Banyans. I like to see the fact that SCAD won 8-1 over Thomas. I think that's big for SCAD. I think they needed to do that. They needed to kind of show their dominance in that one, and they did that for sure. Florida Memorial, their win over Weber, that's been the biggest question for me. Obviously, they've all been off to the greatest start in program history, but can they continue to do that and win once conference starts? So far, so good with that one. Same thing with Warner. I like that 3-0 win over Florida College. Then we move on to men's soccer. The results are Southeastern beats Ave 3-1, Weber over Florida Memorial 3-1, SCAD ties Thomas 1-1, and then Kaiser beats New College. I'm actually going to stick with that Kaiser and New College one for me, just because I think that was a big win for Kaiser, just because the fact that I don't think Kaiser has hit their ground running yet. Again, they are still one of the contenders to watch in the Sun Conference. They are still one of the best teams in the conference. I just feel like there's a little bit more to be had from the Seahawks, and I had a tie in the situation. That was my pick before the weekend. I did say if you forced me to pick one, I would pick Kaiser, but I knew it wouldn't be a dominant win, a 1-0 win over a good New College team that I think is going to make some noise in the conference. So I think that's very, very impressive for New College to keep it within a goal difference. But I think it's very important that Kaiser got that win above all else. Then SCAD and Thomas 1-1 tie there. Big for SCAD against the receiving votes Thomas team. Then we also had Weber beating Florida Memorial 3-1. Tough for the Lions. I really was expecting a bit better performance. In the end, though, I think it just came down to the fact that Weber wanted it more. You know, you have a situation here where Florida Memorial actually leads at half 1-0, and then to give up three goals in the span of 10 minutes, give or take, starting in the 64th minute by Jonathan Mingard, and then in the 65th and then 77th minute. That's interesting from a Lions perspective. You look at the shot count, 8-12 in favor, 8 shots on goal on 12 shots by the Warriors, while Lions 9 total shots, 3 of them were on target. The stats said it was a pretty even match. I mean, the only thing that you really look at and say, wow, it's kind of a little bit of a difference was the corner kicks, 7-2. But again, that's in favor of Florida Memorial. So I'm a little surprised, not so much the outcome, because I do think Weber could have won that game. Just the fact that it wasn't a closer one down the stretch. I do think that the Lions, if they were able to keep it closer, could have had a different result. But credit to the Warriors. They had a big win there. And I think that can be a big one that we look back on once postseason comes on seeding and who's playing who and who falls on what side of the bracket. Ave Maria loses 3-1 to Southeastern. second half was a big one for the Fire. You know, obviously the final score being 3-1, but to put up those two goals in the second half once it's tied 1-1, that's massive. I think that's important for Southeastern to play to the very end. The Southeastern team on the men's side, really, really, really scary, just in the sense of their ability to not give up. I do think Victor for them will be a player to keep an eye on throughout the season, especially in moments like this where it's a tight game. It's 0-0, 1-1, just a gritty kind of game. Even the Fire down one or two goals, he might be the one that could spark something. The aggression, though, 18 total shots, 9 of them on target. That's very impressive. You have more shots on target than the other team has shots, period. That's the type of Southeastern team that they're going to need to be throughout the entire season. Keep putting pressure on other teams' goalkeepers, other teams' defenses. Dominate on that side of the ball. Maybe you're not necessarily dominating with possession, but if you are always going to the other team and being the first one to set the tone, that's a very, very important thing in this game. So I think that's a big one for Southeastern to get at the start of conference here. On the volleyball side, as we wrap up the recap, Southeastern takes 3 over the Gyrenes. Again, I just think that's more of a situation where Southeastern, it was just a better team. I don't think that the Gyrenes really had too much that they could do. I think they played as well, about a good game as you can have, to be honest with you. I mean, you look at the box score and you realize that the Gyrenes didn't do anything bad per se. I mean, 45 kills as a team, 28 attack errors. Obviously, the errors need to come down if you're going to play the Southeastern Fire, but 9 total blocks, 85 digs. I mean, you gave yourself the best chance you could. But again, it comes down to not just capitalizing on your opponent's mistakes, but creating your own. That's what the Fire did. The Fire had 48 kills, 18 attack errors. Then you look at the frontline presence, 24 total blocks. 24 total blocks, 22 block assists, and then 2 solo blocks. That's something that I'm noticing is creating a trend in the Sun Conference as a whole when it comes to volleyball. That frontline presence for a lot of these teams, you already see it with St. Thomas. Kaiser's coming along with it. Southeastern's not coming along with it. They have a frontline presence and a rotation of frontline presences that really, really, really give players, teams, coaches headaches through the duration of a match. So I think that's where it comes down to. Obviously, attack errors are the first thing I would point to, but that, I think, is a more of a situation of you have to create for yourself as much as you're capitalizing on your opponent's errors, no matter how many errors your team has. New College has a sweep over the Florida Memorial Lions. I think that was a pretty safe bet. Again, had the band winning in a sweep, so I think it's kind of holding suit there. St. Thomas sweeps over Warner. Again, had that as well. Big one of the weekend, I think, to be honest with you. You know, we had a lot of upsets throughout the entire weekend we had one upset. I guess you can say one upset per sport. I mean, definitely Ave Southeastern on the women's side for soccer. Men's soccer, don't really think there was too much of an upset anywhere. I mean, I wouldn't call Weber over Florida Memorial an upset. So I think that women's soccer was definitely an upset. For volleyball, that one was the upset of the weekend, though. Weber over Kaiser in 5 sets. The big thing from this one, obviously, was Hannah Heine did not finish the match for her team. She finished with just 2 sets played, 17 assists, 1 handling error, 1 service error, 7 digs, and a kill. So she didn't really leave that much of an imprint on the game. She was not able to finish, and that was a big thing. But to the credit of the Kaiser Seahawks and next man up mentality, Amani Molina, she steps into that assist role, 32 for her team, along with 9 digs. Mackenzie Pryor, 29 kills, only 9 attack errors. That's efficiency at its finest. Also did chip in 11 digs for a double-double performance. Federica Silva, 15 with 14 digs. So the Seahawks had a chance. They gave themselves a fighting chance. Again, you force 5 sets, anything could happen. Anything could happen. But the Weber Warriors, they understood they have an opportunity in front of them, and they made it be known. Again, the style was the biggest thing for Weber. It was a team effort. You had Nadia Reed, Kaylee Hunt, and Delaney Johnson all have 12 kills. In the case of Reed and Hunt, they chipped in a double-double with 13 digs and 10 digs, respectively. That was big for the Weber Warriors. And another team, the frontline presence, 22 total blocks. That says something when you look at the Kaiser Seahawks. They had 7 total blocks. The defensive side of the ball for the Sun Conference is getting very, very impressive for volleyball. And you see it now translating these upset victories and these wins one way or the other. I think it's going to come down to a situation where for Weber, this is a big win, no doubt about it. I mean, you pretty much are the one who technically forced the 5 sets with Kaiser taking the first one by 3, 25-22. Then Weber wins 25-21. Kaiser dominates the third one in the biggest win of the day, 25-15, and then Weber comes back in 25-20 style to force that final set where they won by 3. The inconsistency of that set, of those sets, in the sense of one team winning, the other team winning, kind of trading off to the very end, really shows the type of style that I think Weber could really benefit from. If they do not kind of, if they don't embrace what they showed at the end of the day, again, having 3 players with 12 kills, having a pretty deep offensive rotation, then this is what I see them being able to do. A team that maybe you take the first set from them, but they're going to take the second set. Maybe you take the third one, but they have a fighting chance in that fourth one. And then, oh my God, they took it. And now it's a set situation. I think they might be one of the, again, I mentioned before, they're the scariest team in the conference to me. And if they're in a 5-set situation against anybody, I would understand if they come out with it on top, because I feel like they thrive in those moments. So big win for Weber. See if they can keep it going for Kaiser. Tough, because now you dropped to St. Thomas. You now dropped to Weber. You're starting conference play 0-2. It's not necessarily how you wanted things to go, but it's where you're at right now. So we're going to have to try and just figure out the next course of action and then move forward on it, which I think they can do and they will end up doing. We're also going to recap this past Wednesday, recording this Thursday. And in women's soccer, Edward Waters, unfortunately, take 2-0 over the Florida Memorial Lions as the Lions lose their first match of the season. St. Thomas dominates Weber 4-1. Kaiser takes it over Southeastern in a 4-3 classic. A really, really good performance by both teams there, especially on the Southeastern side. I'll get to that in a minute. And then Ave takes out Warner 3-1. Games kind of held suit, not really anything crazy, nothing that really stood out to me. The reason I say the Southeastern Kaiser game was more important for Southeastern, even though they lost, they've had a little bit of a sputter to start the season. They've had some highs, they've had some they've had some less than stellar performances, to say the least. So for you to force the number 2 team in the nation to a situation where they had to win that one, it was not given easily to them, you know, tied at half 1-1, and then you have a situation where Kaiser takes the lead, Southeastern ties it. Kaiser then really won on a Lauren Riley insurance goal in the 84th minute, as the go-ahead was by Maria Valina, and then Lauren Riley scores again, and Madeline Davidson was able to get her third of the season and third of the game. So if it wasn't for that Lauren Riley goal that happened 2 minutes before Madison Davidson's, we could be talking about a 3-3 situation here. I think this is a much more telling sign for the Fire. I think it's a situation where when you play Kaiser on women's soccer, you have to be strategic and methodical in your approach. You look at the numbers, 32 total shots by the Seahawks. 32 total shots. It's the most I've seen by any Sun Conference team this season alone. 12 were on target. That's pretty solid efficiency there. Southeastern, 10 shots, 4 on target. You're not going to be able to match the Kaiser scoring and offensive abilities. It's just not going to happen. But you can capitalize when they do maybe have a mistake here, give you a free set piece there. You have to be able to capitalize on those moments. It's going to be hard because maybe you're not in rhythm. Maybe you don't have the flow of the game, which is understandable. But again, this is the number 2 team in the nation. You have to understand that it's not going to be easy to put 1-2, but to put 3 on them is very, very hard. And Southeastern did that. So that's very, very impressive for Southeastern, especially to do it at home. I think that tells a lot of the ability that these teams have to win in front of their home fans. I think that was the biggest takeaway, though, from the Wednesday, from the women's side of things for soccer. new college, excuse me. Well, that was last, that was on Saturday. The biggest thing for me, aside from that, is I think St. Thomas dominating Weber. I think that's a very, if for St. Thomas to jump into comfortably that second spot where I do have them right now. Again, before Sun Conference play started, it for me was Kaiser, St. Thomas. Then you had SCAD, Southeastern, and then we had the rest of the pack. In any order, I'd probably go Weber, Florida Memorial, Ave, Warner, and new college in that group as well. In any order you want. That wasn't really set my order. Those are the teams I'm talking about. Two games in now, and you look at the standings here, I would necessarily say that they've changed a little bit for St. Thomas specifically. For them to stay in that number two, which they still are, for them to stay in that number two, they need to do these type of things. And they need to be able to win against the opponents that they should beat. If you lose the SCAD, if you lose the Kaiser, I think that's honestly it. If you lose to those two teams, it's understandable. Home or away, it's understandable. They're two of the top 25 teams in the nation. They are teams that can make not just deep conference runs, but deep NAIA playoff runs. It's understandable losses. There's no understandable loss to drop other games, because if you have hope of getting into that next tier in the national scene, you have to be able to handle those teams in your conference. So when Weber comes to town, when you travel to Ave, when Southeastern hosts or comes to you, you have to be able to take that win no matter what it takes. 1-0, 4-1, whatever the outcome, you have to be able to do that. And they did that. So I credit them for that. Can they continue it once things really pick up and these teams get a little bit more comfortable with each other and get a little bit more confident in their own games? Now we jump on to the men's side of things for soccer in this midweek side of Sun Conference action. Kaiser over Southeastern 4-1. Very impressive. I think that's a big one for the Seahawks, like I mentioned earlier, to go from 1-0. I think that shows the confidence boost that 1-0 win over New College had. Again, New College, a team that, don't be surprised if they make some noise. Don't be surprised if they're in that top end of the playoff hunt, in the sense of like looking for, you know, maybe hosting a first round type of situation here. Florida Memorial beating Barry is a great bounce back for them. That's huge. First time in program history that the Lions do that, and to do it in a 2-0 type game. That's a nice turning piece here for the Lions, who's had a little bit of a rocky season. You know, they've had, again, another team that's had some highs, not want to say lows, but had some lower moments. And I think this is definitely one of those highs that hopefully they have to start building off these highs, because they're going to run out. No matter what sport you're talking about, throughout a long season, the highs don't necessarily continue unless you make them continue. The lows, those can pile up very quickly. So I think the Lions have to try and capitalize on these highs very, very soon. SCAD takes the win over New College 4-2. Big one for SCAD. Big one for SCAD, as they're a team that's flying under the radar. They're a team that can surprise some people. They're a team that right now in my power rankings for men's soccer, they're on the top end of the playoff hunt. Still St. Thomas, still Kaiser. I think they have a different tier to them. I think SCAD has a chance of being that third, fourth team. I think that's where their ceiling is right now. As the season goes on, it could get more, but right now that's where I have them. Speaking of the Bobcats, they do handle the Warriors 2-0. Big one, solid one, I'll say that, for the Bobcats. Again, another team similar to what I talked about on the women's side. The men's side of things for St. Thomas soccer, that's where the women are trying to get to, and that St. Thomas should be doing what they did last year, flirting with perfect regular seasons, flirting with perfect conference seasons, because they're a team that last year was in the national semifinals of the tournament. There's only one team that I can understand losing to, in the sense of you look at what that team has done, what they can do, what they have the aspirations to do. Everybody's gunning for St. Thomas. And I'm not saying on the men's or women's side in soccer, period, the conferences are not tough. The conferences are very tough, and anybody could win on any given night. But with that said, there are some teams that should be in the lead of their respective sport on the women and men's soccer. Those are the teams that you are looking for, not just for the conference, but beyond that. Because that's what every team in these conferences wants to do. They don't just want to win the Sun. They want to win the entire thing. And to do that, you have to be able to prove not just to yourself, but also to the committee, get a nice little number next to your name that you can do this and continue to do this. The final result for men's soccer, Ave Warner tied 3-3. For the Gyrenes to come back in that one and tie Warner, I think that's a big one for them. Warner was leading 2-1 at the half to then Gyrenes flip it on them, go 2-1 in their favor in the second half. That's impressive. Tough for Warner. I definitely think that they wanted to hold on to that one, but the Gyrenes scrappy, able to force a tie and give themselves some type of positive outcome in that situation to not lose the day completely. I think that's very, very important for them. But that's going to do it for this portion of this episode with the recap of both the past weekend as well as the midweek. We look forward to the weekend. Again, Josh and I will talk about football in a minute here, but talking about the other sports right now, we will start with volleyball. Few interesting matchups. The one for me that I really like is New College at St. Thomas. I have St. Thomas in that one. I have St. Thomas in four sets in that one. But this New College team, it's the first time I'm going to get to really see them for a full match. I'm excited. I really am excited. They're a team that can surprise some people. I don't think they can surprise St. Thomas, who is now the number 10 team in the nation. Congrats to St. Thomas and St. Thomas volleyball. I think that's very, very impressive for what Coach Whitney and her staff have done. New College will have to have a near-perfect performance to beat St. Thomas. I just want to see what the programs do matching up, because St. Thomas is the bar. New College, they've taken Southeastern to four sets, close four sets. They've won two Sun Conference games already where they should have won, if we're being honest here. I think they are where they are right now in the conference at 2-1. Which is honestly where I would have pecked them to be three games in going against St. Thomas. If they were 3-0, I'd be very impressed. But I think 2-1 is right where I thought they would be. So I'm excited to see about that matchup. I do have St. Thomas in four sets. Florida Memorial, Weber. I've got Weber in three. I know Weber's on the road, but coming off of that win over Kaiser, I don't see them dropping this one, even if they are away from Babson Park. Kaiser, Southeastern, again, I don't know if Hannah Heidi will be playing. If she is, I'll go five sets if she is or isn't. If she is, I go five sets. You know what? No, I think Southeastern has this one. I do think Southeastern has it in five sets. I think Heidi just gives Kaiser a better chance to win, but I have to go with the Fire. With or without Heidi, I just think the Fire right now are playing a little bit better than Kaiser. That's saying something. I know Kaiser receiving votes and Southeastern is not. With that said, you know, if Southeastern's able to do this, I don't think they necessarily are receiving votes in the next polls, but you could see them maybe on the cusp. Maybe they'd be just off that list. So I think the Fire take this one in technically an upset, but I think this is a pretty even matchup that if it goes either way, I'm not surprised. But the only surprise I would think of is if it doesn't go five. If it goes in a sweep to either team, then I'm a little shocked. But if it goes in a situation where it's just five sets and one team has to win, obviously, I think it'll be Southeastern, and that's where I'm going to go with there. Ave Warner, I don't really know this one, but I'm going to go Ave. I think the Gyrenes give me a different feel than the Warner in the sense of they're a little bit more polished and a little bit better at this point in the year right now. So I'm going to go Ave, but I'll go in five. I'll go in five as well. I think both these teams could get two sets off of each other, and that third set, anything could happen. So I'm going to go Ave in five against Warner to wrap up volleyball. For women's soccer, Southeastern versus SCAD, big one for Southeastern because they're trying to get in, they're trying to stay in the top 25 receiving votes picture. And to do that, you're going to need to beat one of these ranked receiving votes teams. Will it be SCAD? Probably not. I think SCAD wins this one by a 2-goal difference, personally. Southeastern is at home, so they do have a nod there, but I think SCAD's going to be able to handle business. Weber Warner, I'm going Weber this one. I think Weber wins it by a goal, though. I don't think it's going to be anything more than that. I think Warner can. And the biggest thing is coming off again to be up 2-1 at the half, to put up a third goal, but still not come away with a victory. In Warner's case, is very tough. And I think Weber, another home situation here. I think they definitely want to avenge that last one to St. Thomas. So I think I got Weber by a goal here. St. Thomas over Florida Memorial, or Florida Memorial at St. Thomas, I should say. I'm going to say St. Thomas wins that one by one goal. I think Florida Memorial, you come off of your first loss of the season in the Big Cat Classic against Edward Waters. They're a little bit hungrier. They're a little bit more focused against Battle Miami Gardens matchup here. I like St. Thomas, but Florida Memorial, if they keep it within a goal, things could get dicey there. And then New College at Ave Maria, I got New College with that one on the road. I do think that might be considered an upset, but I think it's another situation where two even teams are going to be battling it out. Two young teams, it'd be safe to say. I know Ave is very good in thrilling close situations. I just think New College might surprise some people. So I would say that is an upset, just because the Gyrenes have proven to be able to upset people and proven to be able to win those tight ones down the stretch, because I think that's what this one will end up being for the women's side of things. We'll jump from that to the men's side with Ave and New College, and I've got New College in that one too. I think New College on the men's side is a little bit stronger for New College than necessarily on the women's side, just because they just give a different vibe. I think the New College women's team is just as dangerous. That's why I picked them over Ave. I just think the men's New College team is a little bit more established right now in this point in the season. And I also think it's because the Gyrene on the men's side for soccer, while they have the ability and have shown the ability to win some big games, I don't know if they're going to be able to do that against New College. I think New College at home gives them that extra boost in a one-goal situation again as well. St. Thomas at Florida Memorial. St. Thomas, two goal difference. Florida Memorial has a chance, though, if they can build off that Barry win. Otherwise, I don't think St. Thomas is going to drop this one on the road against their crosstown rivals. Southeastern at SCAD. I've got Southeastern on the road with this one. Give me a one goal. I don't think SCAD, if they're going to prove that they are in that next tier and taking a step up in this season right now, they're not going to be, they're not, they can't drop this one by more than a goal. If they do that, I think you're just kind of a team that has some good weeks and then has some back down to earth type of games. And I don't think they want to be that. I think that they would want to establish themselves, and you can come out with a tie. That'd be, I consider that a win for SCAD in the big picture. But if you can keep it within one goal, I think that's the biggest achievement for them, but because I do have Southeastern winning this one. And then the final one that we'll do before I send it over to myself and Josh for some football, Weber, Warner. I'm going to go tie here. I haven't gone a tie on women's soccer. I haven't gone a tie yet in men's soccer. And I think this is a situation where both teams want to win so bad. Another rivalry game here between Weber and Warner, that it just comes down to a 0-0, 1-1, 2-2, even a 4-4. I could see this being a tie in any number of ways. So I think that's what's going to happen here. Two teams, Weber has the nod. If you force me to pick one, I would say Weber, but I think it's going to be a tie above all else, just because Warner is a little bit scrappier that people might not anticipate. And Weber, I could see them taking a lead and then maybe Warner sneaking up on them down the stretch and taking that one from them. So that's kind of how I see things wrapping up on the men's soccer side. That's going to do it for this part of the episode. Again, reviewing this past weekend, reviewing the midweek soccer games, and now we're going to preview and review football on both sides, as I'm going to throw it over to myself and Josh for some Sun Conference football. Now I'm joined here by my good buddy Josh as we get ready for Sun Conference football, recording this Friday night. So we are going to, like I mentioned before, we're going to talk a little bit about this past weekend. A little long overdue, but you know, it's worth the wait. I think we had some good games to definitely talk about and some new shakeups in the polls. And then we'll talk about this coming weekend. Well, I should say tonight, if you guys are hearing this Saturday morning. Josh, first things first, I think we can, obviously we'll talk about the fact that Weber their game did get canceled due to weather against Shorter University. So that unfortunately did not happen. The Warriors will be in action later today. So a little bit of a unofficial bye week, so I know they're going to want to get into it. Florida Memorial did tie against Clark Atlanta University 28-28, so we won't talk too much on that one. I'm sure you'll hit some points here and there. But I guess we'll start in a game that I think you wanted to harp on a little bit, even though it was a win for the Sun Conference, and the Ave Maria Fort Lauderdale game. Ave Maria did win 31-7 over the University of Fort Lauderdale, but something that I believe you told me you weren't necessarily thrilled by the way they did it.
No, man, it's just you go scoreless in the first quarter. It looks like that game got suspended due to weather as well. But I mean, they had 23 yards passing, and then they had one, looks like a trick play, so which would have put it at 42 for the game. They kind of leaned on Brian Stemke to, you know, kind of run the rock. It wasn't the kind of game that you want to see against an opponent like that. Weber did win 40-0, and I don't even think they were content with that. I think this Fort Lauderdale team, you know, being a new program and things like that, they kind of serving as like one of those cupcake teams, like kind of get right games. And 31-7 with your quarterback going 8 of 11 for 23 yards and a pick, getting sacked three times against an opponent like that, that's got to be an uneasy feeling, you know, for the coaching staff. So, you know, hopefully they saw something and can make some adjustments, but I don't necessarily think that's going to cut it moving forward.
No, I agree with you. And I mean, if you look at the team numbers, you mentioned that the rushing for Ave Maria was great. 177. I won't say great. It was good. 177 to University of Fort Lauderdale's 48. But you look at the passing, you only beat the Eagles by one, technically 42-41. That's not going to cut it in the Sun Conference. So I definitely think that even though they got the win, I'm hoping and giving the benefit of the doubt that it's more of the fact that if the game had continued, because I think it did end like the third quarter, if it had continued, maybe things would have changed in that fourth quarter, but still not definitely not the type of situation that the Gyrese wanted.
To just one more point, I mean, maybe we can give them a little bit of the benefit of the doubt because there could have been some pretty good inclement weather. Maybe that's why they leaned on the run more so than maybe they would have if it was, you know, a nice sunny day. But still, though, I mean, three sacks. We can go away from the passing numbers. Let's go to the sacks. I mean, they're not even able to hold the Fort Lauderdale's, you know, front pressure. What makes you think they can hold, you know, St. Thomas, Kaiser, Southeastern's front seven's pressure? So that's probably something that they've been working on, I can imagine, because that's going to be, you know, very important moving forward.
No, absolutely. And then we go from the Gyrenes, the Eagles, to Thomas versus Bethel. Another situation where, you know, Thomas was on the wrong end of the scoreboard, 35-0. Do you have any takeaways from this game? Again, in a situation of another game where Thomas is playing a very, very good opponent in the NAI scheme for football. And 35-0, you know, is definitely not the score you want, but it could have been a lot worse. So I definitely got to give credit to the Nighthawks, no?
A little bit of credit for sure. I mean, 35-0 is, it stinks, man. It's not good, but Bethel is a powerhouse in the NAIA. Thomas is still new. I doubt they even have a senior on their roster. I mean, when you take a look, Bethel threw the ball three times. They didn't complete one pass. They ran 59 times for 400 yards on the ground. That's going to be a glaring issue for Thomas moving forward. I mean, that's a gashing.
No, 59 yeah.
For 403 and five touchdowns, averaging 7 yards a carry. Granted, that's Bethel's bread and butter, evidently. But when you think about some of these teams that they're going to go up against, Kaiser, heavy on the run game. St. Thomas, heavy on the run game. Southeastern, heavy on the run game. Weber, heavy on the run game. That's going to be something they're going to have to figure out moving forward, or it's going to be another very long season. But in the same breath, they're young, they're new. You know, they're probably at a disadvantage, even at the level that they're playing, and they're probably not the same caliber. So,
no, yeah, absolutely. And like you mentioned, even when we talk about the Gyrenes having a bad game against the Eagles, and they still went another team that rushed over 150 yards, and that was considered a bad game. So, it's definitely the run game in the Sun Conference is very important, and to be able to defend it is just as important. But we go from that now to the three games that you and I both were very excited to see the outcomes for: St. Thomas and Xavier, Kaiser Newberry, and then Southeastern Reinhardt. I'm going to start with Kaiser Newberry College. I think this is a big one for the Seahawks. You know, obviously their previous D2 matchup, you win in overtime on a field goal. Like, it was down to the wire. This one, a lot more breathing room, so to speak, still within a touchdown of a score, 42-33. What was your takeaway from this one for the Seahawks and another D2 win for Kaiser?
I think it's very impressive. I mean, their first series, they throw a pick six, 80 yards to the house. They were driving, and you know, they make a mistake, and Newberry made them pay. They go down 7-0, and then they respond with two touchdowns. Andrew Burnett with a 1 yard run, and Shea Spencer with a 40 yard throw to Rufino Benghades, go up 14-7, give up a field goal, and then go down again, 17-14, late in the second quarter. And then as time is expiring in the first half, another 35 yard pass from Shea Spencer to go up. And then right out of third quarter, a little slower. You know, they didn't score in the third quarter until a minute left. A Shea Spencer run, go up two possessions, give up a touchdown, come back, and Burnett goes for 75. I mean, they were going tit for tat for a while, and it's just impressive against a team like that, especially when you go down 7-0 on a pick six as you're driving. That's a momentum killer. That momentum swung right in Newberry's direction, and they stayed after it. You know, they weren't phased. That's just the Kaiser team that we know.
No, absolutely. And I'll ask you this. You know, obviously, we have the numbers here in front of us, and I think Shea Spencer was the MVP of that game, the player of the game for sure. Do you disagree? Do you agree? I mean, you look at the numbers from the passing side: 20 for 27, 222 yards, two TDs. He did have the interception, but to continue the game the way he did, again, did rush for 26 yards on four attempts. That did have a TD as well, so technically three on the day. You also have Andrew Burnett, Jaden Menzinger. Is there another player you think had a very good game, or do you agree that Shea Spencer
was the one? I think it's between Shea Spencer and the running backs, because Burnett found Pedro three times, but Menzinger was 21 for 105, averaging 5 yards a pop with a 60-yard carry that looks like he probably got him down inside the red zone and either got taken out for a blow or whatever the case may be. But that running back room was impressive. They went 39 for 250 and four scores, averaging 6.5 yards a carry. That's really, really, really good. If you're running, if you have your yards per carry north of 5 yards, you're in really good shape. I mean, and when you got complimentary play by your quarterback, besides the one mistake on the first series, he was 20 of 26 for 222 and two touchdowns. Very impressive. You can't really ask for a better showing after the mistake. You know, so it's another very impressive win for Kaiser.
No, absolutely. And the last point I'll say, you know, we're harping on the offense, rightfully so, but the defense, in my opinion, really, in that third quarter, like you mentioned, it pretty much beat scoreless until the last minute on the offense. And then on the defensive side, to hold Newberry 2-0 is pretty much where you win the game, when the final score is 42-33. And considering Newberry actually won the fourth quarter by 2 points, that donut that they were able to hold Newberry College at was very, very important. We'll go from one game where QB really was impressive to another game where QB was very impressive for St. Thomas, as they upset at the time number 8 St. Xavier. Now the Bobcats sit at that number 8 position in the polls. Kaiser still at number 1, of course. 33-14 for the Bobcats. I think this was a Keely Watson homecoming, coming out party, whatever you want to say, because we know what Rontavius Farmer is going to do. He did it again. You know, 34 attempts, 145 yards. Didn't have a TD, but again, still just putting up video game numbers. But Keely Watson, 23 for 31, 258 yards, 5 touchdowns. If he's going to, again, he's not going to do this consistently, because these are video game numbers. These are NCAA 25 numbers. But if he does anything in that realm, especially against a Seahawks team, a Southeastern team that seems to be finding their footing here, Bobcats become a whole nother level on offense.
100%. And I think you got to give some flowers to David Hayes. I mean, he had 12 receptions, 158 yards, and 2 touchdowns. What a showing for a receiver like that. I mean, he's been doing it week in and week out this far this season, and I think it's very enticing to see that St. Thomas is becoming slightly balanced, you would say. I mean, Rontavius has a phenomenal day. I mean, they had, I mean, call it almost 70 plays from scrimmage. That's a lot of plays. I mean, St. Xavier, they had right around 70 as well. I mean, that's a lot of offense. That's a lot of time your offense is on the field, a lot of time your defense is on the field. But the fact that you can play a balanced game, especially when you have a talented tail like that, with the guys like that stepping up, it's just got to be super you know, like a sense of relief, because you're not one dimensional. You got teams have to game plan for more than just Rontavius Farmer now. So it makes you, you know, more dynamic whenever you're playing some of these teams that are a little bit more familiar with you or familiar with your offense and some of these skill players from years past. It makes it a little bit tougher to defend them.
No, absolutely. I mean, harping on that point of a team aspect offensively, you technically, again, 5 TDs thrown by Keely Watson, and they were 4 receptions. The only one that had two TDs was David Hayes. So that says something for you to be able to have weapons all across the board here. St. Thomas, again, like I mentioned, number 8 right now in the polls. Kaiser number 1. It's that matchup. It just feels like it's inevitable. Those two Titans fighting each other again in just about 3 weeks' time now. I feel like we're just gearing up for that, and I'm very excited. But a team that is kind of, they for me, they've gone from a dark horse to a fringe contender, the Southeastern Fire. 28-10 win over Reinhardt. For both of us, that was kind of the game of the week, because we believed that Southeastern with a win would edge themselves into the receiving votes picture, not necessarily top 25 just yet. I think that the polls are going to wait to see what they do in conference, but they did it. They upset number 22 at the time, Eagles, 28-10. What was your biggest takeaway from a game, again, that I believe now the Fire are fringe contenders instead of they have a puncher's chance? No, they've got a really good chance. They've got more than one punch in their bag.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just really impressed with Southeastern's defense, man. They just show up week in and week out and just play hard. I mean, Reinhardt, great team. Faulkner, great team. I mean, you're holding those guys to, you know, to low scoring affairs while you guys are still, you know, putting up, you know, almost 30 points a game without really an air attack. I mean, another game and not very many attempts and through the air, 2 of 6. And they connected on a 64-yard touchdown to Dominic Lehrer, who had the only 2 receptions on the game, and they just grinded it out. 49 carries, 226 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Josiah Neos, he was on media day, 15 attempts for 71 yards, averaging 5 yards a carry. Daniel Parker, 11 for 68 and a touchdown, averaging 6 yards a carry. Quarterback Nate Michael, 7 for 47 and a touchdown, averaging almost 7 yards a carry. I mean, they're just ground and pound, own the line of scrimmage. That's a Southeastern team who looks like can contend with some of these ground games in the Sun Conference. And that's got to be something that they're looking forward to, is that they have that defense that can keep them in games. And if they're able to run the ball like this, they're going to compete with the big dogs.
Absolutely. And I will ask you this. 2 for 6, that's not going to happen a lot for Southeastern. That's definitely an outlier game. Do you think, though, when they go up against the St. Thomases and the Kaisers of the world, and even the Florida Memorials to an extent, that could be their Achilles heel? Like, obviously, I think the defense from pretty much every team in the conference, obviously, there's some tiers, there's some power rankings in there. I'm not saying they're all in one on the same level. There are some differences. But overall, most of these teams can hold their hat on that side of the ball. Offensively, though, do you think that the passing game might be that weakness for the Fire, that it might be not inconsistent, but there might come a day, unfortunately, against these top teams where it isn't going the way they want it to?
Yeah, and then they're going to have to lean on it, and it may not be, you know, beneficial. So that's something they're probably going to – they probably know that. But you go up against a team like Kaiser and St. Thomas that just throw up points on the scoreboard, you know, you get behind and – you know, your defense may be struggling or whatnot, go down a couple of scores, you're not going to be able to play the time of possession game, the ground and pound game. You're going to have to air it out. You're going to have to start, you know, throwing the ball, you know, setting up some, you know, dynamic plays, you know, for your skilled players. Start throwing the ball, because, you know, ground and pound, you get down a couple of scores, that's just not how you do it. It's not possible. So, yeah, I think that could come back to bite them. But right now, that defense, you know, gives them no worries.
And like we both like to say, defense wins championships. So as long as that defense holds, there'll be a chance. And sometimes you just need to hold for that one play, that one Hail Mary that ends up working. But that's the recap from this past weekend. Now going into what we have in front of us again. Going into this weekend with the polls coming out, next polls coming out Monday, we do have St. Thomas at number 8, Kaiser at number 1. And then we have Southeastern right now receiving votes after their win over Reinhardt and their continued win over some top teams in the NAIA world. For this weekend, I'm going to start at the cupcake game. I think it's safe to say that. Kaiser, Fort Lauderdale, I know that neither one of us are really going to harp on that one too much. I think we're going to see a lot of the depth from Kaiser in that one, if anything, more, especially at home. So I think that that's going to be a game for Kaiser to kind of, you know, you put the main guys out there, you give them a couple snaps, a couple rests, maybe a quarter and a half, probably a little bit longer just to keep them fresh for the following week. And then you let the rest of the guys kind of show what they can do. So I think that's going to be a good one for them. Not going to harp on that one too much. Is there another game before we get into it, or before I start asking you questions about these, that you want to specifically talk about? Is it a Warner? Is it Flomo? Is it Weber? Was there a game on this list right now where you're like, this one intrigues me for some reason?
The Flomo game. You know, they're playing, Cumberland, who's 3-0, averaging about 38 points a game. Played Weber last year, 13-6 overtime game. Cumberland's a good team. It's going to be interesting to see what Flomo is going to be able to do, similar to this past week against Clark, that's going to score points with them. So, what is that defense going to come up big? Is that defense going to be able to get some stops, or is it going to be a true shootout? I mean, that's kind of what it looks like, but I'm anxious to see it because that's Flomo's Achilles heel, is that defense. So this is a good game for them to show that, they can make adjustments and they can, get some stops to kind of, spread out the game. And that's if, Cumberland's doesn't show up and, stop their, powerful offensive attack. Because I mean, last week, 41-6 for Cumberland's. The week before against Union, 38-14. I mean, those are some pretty good defensive showings. So we will have to see how that matchup. It's really looking like a shootout that I'm really excited for.
No, absolutely. And I just mentioned that every team in the conference, for the most part, can hold their hat on defense. Me personally, of the contenders of the top four that we have agreed are St. Thomas, Kaiser, Southeastern, and Florida Memorial, I think Florida Memorial has the weakest defense of those four. So this is a good game for them to kind of prove, like, hey, if we need to, we can hunker down and get some big time stops for some turnovers on downs, for some punt team situations, and that could really help them in the future. For me personally, I'm looking at Lincoln University versus Weber. You know, Weber technically having 2 weeks off now. They are going to be back at home. What do you want to see from this situation, again, with the Weber team that has an extended week and now has had more film to really work on their own game as well as get ready for Lincoln University?
As we've seen so far, Weber leans on the run and leans on stopping the run. So it's going to be interesting to see how the defensive backfield kind of steps up and shows up to kind of create some momentum for their offense. So I think it's going to be big time to see Weber, maybe get some turnovers, get some sacks, kind of use their defense, which is a tool for them, as momentum for their offense, which is kind of their, what they struggle with. So I really hope that defense can kind of show up for them and can get their offense rolling, because I think they're capable. It's just a matter of, kind of putting it together and using the different dynamics of a football game to kind of aid them in some of the areas that they may lack.
No, absolutely. I think Weber is that next team for me, at least in the power rankings after those four that I mentioned of we're trying to find a way to edge in there. Maybe they're going to be the spoiler team that could be able to win a game over a top team if they're having a great day. But I think they need to get themselves kind of right. You know, obviously the only win they have right now is over University of Fort Lauderdale, I believe. So that's really not something they're want to hold their hat on, but something that they definitely can hope to improve on. From Weber, we go to Ave Maria, who, after not having the best performance against Fort Lauderdale, now they're traveling on the road to Dayton, Ohio. What do you expect from this Gyrenes team as they play another team that, realistically speaking, they are the underdogs here and rightfully so?
It's gonna be a test. It's Division One opponent. Yeah, maybe a little bit weaker. Dayton coming off of a loss to at Indiana State week before, beat St. Francis. It's gonna be one of those challenges where they might be a little bigger, faster, stronger. But we're gonna really see, the kind of team Ave is in terms of competitiveness and adjustments, and see what they're really going to work on, because then again, this is a prep game for the big, the conference slate. So, props to Ave for even scheduling this game, because it's going to be challenging. They may even win. That conference, and they may not be that great, and this, Ave Maria might be able to, come out of there and be really competitive. We may never know. But I just want to see Ave kind of, bounce back in a sense. Yeah, they won 31-7, but I think there's more in the tank there.
No, absolutely. And like we said, that game did end technically in the third quarter. So Ave didn't get the full ability to show what they can do against a weaker opponent at the time. These last two games, I kind of want to put them together. Both Thomas and Warner are winless right now. Both Thomas and Warner are going to be at home in these two games. Thomas versus Union Commonwealth University from Kentucky, and then Warner Shorter University from Georgia. If you had to put stock, money, the house, the mortgage, everything on one of these two teams coming out of this weekend with a win, who would it be and why?
Personally, I think it's going to be Thomas. I think Union is a weaker opponent. Union struggled. They lost 38-14 to Cumberland, and they lost 48-12 to Campbellsville. Both of those games were at home too, and they're traveling on the road. I think this is a game where you're going to see Thomas kind of, you know, maybe come to life a little bit and see things get put together. I think Union's a little bit weaker. I think it's going to be really neat to see, you know, Thomas come out with a non-conference win like this. I think it's going to be really good for their program.
No, I like it. And honestly, after hearing the breakdown from you, I think that would be a safe bet for sure. Then I'll rephrase the question and say this. What do you need to see from Warner for them to come out with a win over Shorter University at home at 6 p.m. tonight?
We're going to need to see that same kind of competitive nature that we saw when they played Stetson. Shorter, Division II opponent. Tough, going to be another tough opponent. Stetson's tough, but Shorter's going to be tough as well. I think we're going to need to see that competitiveness again, because that's something that the Royals have kind of lacked the last couple of years, especially against their non-conference opponents. I think this is another kind of, you know, a test, you know, to see where your depth lines up, where your speed, your strength, you know, and kind of get a feel for who you are as a team going into like the important stretch of games. This was going to be a common opponent for Shorter with Weber and Warner. They all would play each other, so which could have been a benefit if they would have played Weber. So I think it's going to be maybe a little bit more challenging, but I'm sure, you know, Warner at home, I think they're going to show up to play. I'm anxious to see how that goes. Because Shorter week one, they beat Mississippi College 29-5. That's, you know, that has defensive game written all over it. You know, like if you give up only a field goal, those other 2 points come from a safety with your offense getting sacked in the end zone. So it could be a challenge for Warner, man. It could be a tough defense. We're just going to really have to see how Warner is going to come out and how they're going to attack this game, how they're going to approach this game. You know, hopefully it's similar to the way that it was when they played Stetson.
No, I like that one. The last thing I'm going to ask you here before we send the people into the Saturday slates of conference and non-conference and all the good stuff in the conference for athletics. The teams in action this weekend, aside from Kaiser, are the teams trying to get in to that bubble. Florida Memorial, Ave, Weber, Warner, and Thomas. Conference play starts next weekend with some of these teams playing and hosting and all that good stuff. Which of these teams, and I'll tell you the records right now, Florida Memorial's 1-0-1 with the tie. Ave and Weber are both 1-1, and Warner and Thomas are winless, Warner at 0-1 and Thomas at 0-2. Which of those teams that are in action this weekend, today, need a win going into conference play the most out of all those teams? Again, all of them in different points, all of them trying to do things differently, but which one do you feel like needs the win? Even not even a confident win, just a win to say we're going into conference in a winning streak.
Weber, 100%. 100%. They went and played a week four lateral team, got a win. Kind of got dominated against Campbellsville. Had an extra week of preparation. And I think they go in with this and they win and they play Ave next week. That could be, you know, two in a row potentially. They can get hot, which could be really good for Weber. And I think that's going to be is probably really, really, really important for the Warriors to, you know, to get a win today. Because you lose this one, you're about to go into an absolute gauntlet. So I think they're going to have the different sense of urgency. I think we might see a Weber win here tomorrow or today.
I can agree with that. And honestly, I like the pick. Me personally, I'm going to go Florida Memorial just because you are hosting St. Thomas, which isn't really a host for either situation, obviously, the following week to start conference. And we'll definitely preview those matchups as they come. But similar to your point where if you're Florida Memorial, St. Thomas has a bye week this week. So they're going to be off for 2 weeks. If the Lions can have a good showing their situation, even though I said not necessarily in a dominant win, if they could have a dominant win, I think it boosts them similar to the Warriors. I think you feel better, feel more comfortable, especially coming off of a tie. It's kind of a weird feeling for sure for the Lions. They can get a win, a dominant one. I think they have a good chance of trying to upset the Bobcats. But overall, I think there's going to be some good games this weekend. Again, gearing up for conference play that will officially start the following weekend. I'm excited. I know you're excited too. For the people at home, make sure you're following on Twitter. Make sure you're following on Instagram for all the updates. Follow that YouTube, like, comment, all that good stuff. And we will see you guys later next week.